The U.S. holiday weekend is a tough one for general aviation accidents. The U.S. House votes to fund the FAA without user fees. And Randy Babbitt is confirmed as FAA Administrator. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 26, 2009. ANN is monitoring the details of a tragic Alabama midair involving an RV-8 homebuilt and a Chinese-made CJ-6A. The two planes were said to have been involved in a planned formation flight when, according to local media reports, the pilots lost sight of each other and struck wings near Pryor Field in Alabama about 1 p.m. local time Saturday. Both aircraft suffered damage. The CJ-6A was being flown by B.J. Kennemore, a member of the Red Thunder Airshow demonstration team. He was able to bring his plane in and land without injury. The RV-8, however, was damaged severely and came apart in the air, coming down on the grounds of Calhoun Community College. The pilot, 41-year-old Stephen Raddatz of Tuscumbia, Alabama, did not survive. Both aircraft were reportedly based at Muscle Shoals and were returning home from a holiday weekend cookout. ANN will have updated details as the investigation continues. U.S. Navy Commander Luther Hook III, the 44-year-old executive officer for Naval Air Station Fallon, died with three of his daughters when his Cessna 320 came down about a mile short of the runway at Fallon Municipal Airport in Nevada on Friday. The flight from Fresno, California to Fallon was reportedly one Hook made often. His daughters, Caitlin, Rachel, and Mackenzie, ages 15, 12, and 9 respectively, all lived with his ex in Clovis, California. Witnesses say the plane was flying erratically before impact. Weather was VFR, but with wind gusts reported as high as 45 knots. Lots happened in Washington, D.C. just before the Memorial Day holiday weekend. For one thing, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed H.R. 915 that funds the FAA using existing taxes with no new user fees on general aviation. General Aviation Manufacturers Association President Pete Bunce praised the action, but expressed concerns that Section 303 of the bill would require the FAA to send inspectors to Europe twice a year for mandated inspections of FAA-certified repair stations, effectively blocking implementation of the U.S.-EU bilateral safety agreement. Quote, the consequences would threaten continued safety cooperation in areas such as pilot training, operating requirements, and new aircraft certifications. This would place many American jobs unnecessarily at risk, unquote. Bunce called for changes to the provision before similar legislation is passed by the U.S. Senate. NATA President and former U.S. Congressman James Coyne has praised the U.S. Senate for confirming Randy Babbitt as the next FAA Administrator. Babbitt immediately begins a new five-year term. Quote, Administrator Babbitt has a lengthy priority list to tackle over the next 5 years, including modernizing our nation's air traffic control system, and NATA and its members stand ready to work with him and his staff, unquote. Regarding the immediate task of getting FAA funding done in the Senate, Coyne added, quote, I'm hopeful that Administrator Babbitt's confirmation will carry us over the hump toward passage of a bill that modernizes our air traffic control system, rejects user fees, and invests in airport infrastructure, unquote. The National Business Aviation Association is applauding both the passage of H.R. 915 and Babbitt's confirmation. Regarding Babbitt, NBAA issued an official statement which reads in part, quote, All of us in the business aviation industry look forward to working with him to achieve our shared goal of leading the world in aviation, unquote. Of the passage of H.R. 915, NBAA President Ed Boland commented, quote, We commend the House for passing this legislation to fund the FAA and accelerate NextGen, using the long-established aviation fuel tax to help pay for system modernization. GA is committed to working in partnership with the government to improve our nation's aviation system, which will also significantly contribute to economic growth and job creation, unquote. Up next on ANN, Atlantis is back home safely and successfully. Scientists are thrilled with the Hubble Space Telescope, and President Obama names his picks to lead NASA. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from May 26th. I'm Paul Plack. What may have been the most ambitious agenda of any NASA mission since the Apollo days was successfully completed Sunday morning when the space shuttle Atlantis touched down at Edwards Air Force Base. The STS-125 crew traveled a total of 5.3 million miles in 13 days, conducted 5 spacewalks, and set the Hubble Space Telescope up for what its managers hope will be another 5 to 10 years of trouble-free service. Weather over Florida forced the diversion to Edwards Air Force Base, but the landing was otherwise routine. NASA is now preparing for the launch of Endeavour's mission to the International Space Station. That's scheduled for June 13th. Endeavour has already been sitting ready on the launch pad during mission STS-125, in case it had to be scrambled for a rescue mission to bring the Atlantis crew home. During a post-mission press briefing at Kennedy Space Center, NASA's Ed Wyler called the mission a total success and the Hubble Space Telescope a great comeback story. Hubble has allowed scientists to conclude that the age of the universe is 13.7 billion years, that virtually all major galaxies have black holes at their center, and that the process of planetary formation is relatively common. Hubble has also detected the first ever organic molecule in the atmosphere of a planet orbiting another star, and provided evidence the expansion of the universe is accelerating. Wyler said he hopes to see Hubble operate into its third decade of service. The White House has nominated pioneering space shuttle astronaut Charles Bolden to be the agency's new and first African-American administrator. Lori Garver has been nominated to be deputy administrator of NASA. Bolden became an astronaut in August of 1981, has logged over 680 hours on 4 missions in space, and has served in a number of administrative capacities for NASA. Lori Garver served from 1998 to 2001 as NASA's associate administrator of the Office of Policy and Plans, and was President Obama's transition team point person for NASA, experiencing what was reported to be a stormy working relationship with outgoing Administrator Michael Griffin. President Obama commented, quote, "These talented individuals will help put NASA on course to boldly push the boundaries of science, aeronautics, and exploration in the 21st century and ensure the long-term vibrancy of America's space program," unquote. Still ahead, aviation groups support a reining in of the TSA. A watchdog group comes out in support of keeping the VH-71. And who knew the Middle East needed a low-cost carrier? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Paul Platt. 6 GA advocacy groups are using the occasion of reauthorization for the Transportation Security Administration to call for an end to the agency's habit of imposing costly burdens on general aviation with no input from stakeholders. EAA, AOPA, NBAA, GAMA, NATA, and the Airports Council International have sent a joint letter supporting an amendment proposed by Florida Congressman John Mica to H.R. 2200, which would limit TSA's ability to impose so-called emergency security directives without complying with the U.S. Administrative Procedures Act. Noting TSA's Airport Security Directive, which imposes costly security requirements on GA pilots and the commercial airports at which they might land, the groups tell Mica, quote, "We have seen the TSA repeatedly use SDs to vastly expand existing requirements without consideration of the implementation challenges, operational impacts, and economic burdens such mandates impose on the aviation industry. Your amendment properly balances risk mitigation and necessary tactical response with potential industry impacts and appropriate public review, unquote. For the time being, however, the requirement for background checks, badges, and security escorts for GA pilots is still scheduled to go into effect 1 week from today. U.S. President Barack Obama has made the VH-71 presidential helicopter fleet his poster child for military procurement excess, and Defense Secretary Robert Gates announced the official cancellation of the project 10 days ago. But the VH-71 has a surprising new ally, CAGW, Citizens Against Government Waste. The group notes that the cancellation will cost the government over $500 million and waste billions more already spent. Gates himself noted that billions more would be needed to keep the existing older fleet flying. CAGW President Tom Schatz applauds the idea of cutting waste, but observes, quote, "Starting a do-over program from scratch would be even more costly than completing the current program. The prudent course would be to move forward, take possession of the helicopters we've paid for, and find a responsible solution both for the taxpayer and the Office of the President," unquote. And finally today, here's something novel in an aviation news story. The terms Middle East and low-cost carrier in the same headline. Fly Dubai company chairman Sheikh Ahmad bin Said Al Maktoum showed off the first of 50 new Boeing 737-800NG aircraft at a recent event in the United Arab Emirates. Quote, "For many years, the government of Dubai has recognized the need for a low-cost carrier to serve our country. This is a tremendous moment for Fly Dubai and for the development of aviation in the region," unquote. The first flight will be June 1st. Initial airports served include Beirut, Amman, Damascus, and Alexandria, with more promised soon. The all 737 fleet may inspire comparisons to a famous low-cost carrier in the U.S., but there is one big, big difference. On Fly Dubai, your base fare allows a carry-on of 10 kilograms, or about 22 pounds, and everything else is a la carte at extra cost. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves looks back on flight reviews and tells us what pilots tend to forget after their check rides. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.